Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The 2022 Sundance Film Festival begins on Thursday and runs through January 30th. And you can tune into the whole thing from the comfort of your home. This year's festival was originally scheduled to be a hybrid event with in-person events in Park City, Utah, as well as home screenings. But at the beginning of January, organizers announced that it would pivot to being online only due to current COVID numbers. That makes this year's Sundance second in a row online only festival. 2021 was the first virtual festival in its history. It was also the first time the festival had been under the direction of Tabitha Jackson, who made history as the first woman and first person of color to head the festival. And because she's born and raised in the UK, she's also the first director born outside the States. The 2022 Sundance Festival lineup features just over 80 feature films selected from, get this, almost 4,000 submissions. Tabitha Jackson joins me now to give a preview of this year's festival. Tabitha, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here again.
So you went into the festival, and I think we all understand this, that it would be hybrid and it could become exclusively virtual. So either way, a good chunk of the audience would be watching and experiencing this from home. How did that shape the way you program the festival?
It's interesting because in this world where everything is changing all of the time, the thing that has remained constant, actually, Alison, is how we think about the films, our process, our curatorial process. There is one thing to add to our online festival, which is this fantastic dimension that we now have that we call our satellite screen. So that's seven art, independent art houses across the US also playing the work. So people can still see it in person in those screens, but just not in Utah because of the transmission rates. But in terms of the work itself, I mean, this work jumped off our respective screens. It said something about what artists are seeing in the world, how they're making meaning. And, you know, it's both socially engaged and also entertaining and transformative. And you talked about the submission rates for features. Overall, we had about 15,000 submissions that we went through. That includes our shorts program, New Frontier, Indie Episodic. And so what those numbers show, which are really high anyway, and then really high when you think that we've been in a pandemic for the last 2 years, how on earth are these filmmakers making the work and these artists? It just shows the resilience of this independent scene. So in amongst all the disappointment, there is a lot to be hopeful about.
We first spoke to you with your first festival as director, the first time it being virtual, lucky you. So what did you learn from programming 2021 that you were really able to implement in this year's virtual festival?
I think the main thing that we learned, I mean, we had to go into last year and are certainly going into this year again with a sense of experiment. Mm-hmm. So how can a festival that for the last 36 editions has been in person on a mountain, the buzz, the excitement, the slightly kind of arduous conditions, how can we translate what that means, the essence of that, into an online expression primarily? And I think there were a couple of things. One was, if this doesn't sound too hippie, presence. Being present in a moment is what makes a festival and what differentiates it from a streaming platform. So films have premiere times where the audience gathers in a moment to watch together for their premieres. And then there is a live Q&A with the makers of the work and the people who have just experienced that work for the first time ever. There's an energy that goes with that. So we learned that that was important both to our makers and to the audience. So we're doing that again this year. The second thing that was... Oh, sorry, yeah.
No, go ahead, please, continue.
Well, just there was another thing. The other thing that makes a festival is the social aspect of it, the talking about films. And in Park City, we used to do that on the shuttle buses or in the waiting room or in the queue before going in to the cinema. So Last year, in a grand experiment, we built something that we're now calling the Spaceship, which is a social platform. We worked with the developers Active Theory, and it is it feels like you are on a spaceship. You go in as an avatar from your laptop or from your VR headset, and you can encounter people who are using their little webcams and proximity audio. So you can go up to people and talk to them, like literally talk to them, literally see them. And that had a huge effect last year. And it also meant that we can have kind of parties after every single film where people can gather and talk about what they've just seen. And interestingly, in terms of human behavior, there also sprung up from that kind of organically an after hours. I was going to say after hours drinking, but you were drinking in your own home, but you were after hours hanging out with people. And it was the strangest and most beautiful effect. That's where the festival really felt like a festival, that feeling the next morning of like, oh, I was out way too late with those people I've just met for the first time, when actually I was still sitting at my table looking into my laptop. So it's great. I recommend both those things. We used to say the greeting used to be, you know, just before the festival, see you on the mountain. Mm-hmm. This year it's see you on the spaceship. And I think that's here to stay, because that is accessible from all over the world.
What I was going to say, and you wrapped it up nicely, is there's this idea that scholars call liveness. We talk about it in radio a lot, and it's described as the electrifying feeling originating in awareness, both conscious and subconscious, of connectivity. No matter the program, if it's live, it's suspenseful because direct communication. And that's that idea of we're all gathering to watch this live together, whether we're gathering virtually or we're gathering in these small art houses, or we're gathering, even though I'm in my living room, I'm gathering with you at an appointed time to watch this thing together. It's
yes.
Liveness.
Yes. And that liveness, that's a beautiful definition. I might have to get that from you. But the liveness is also the sense of a collective imagining. And what happens in a cinema or what happens in a theater is that you are gathered together, a number of individuals, and somehow, in that space between the audience and the screen or the audience and the stage, there is a coming together, a collective imagining where something magical happens. And I think, as we learned from last year, that can still happen even though we may be separated by thousands of miles because of what you're saying, the liveness and the presence. And so that's what we really experimenting with again this year. And it means a lot as we think about what can a festival be, what is the purpose of a festival, what can it be, and how can it embrace, particularly for this realm of independent cinema, where we're not, there aren't massive budgets, there aren't massive marketing budgets, there aren't huge name stars in much of the work. It's about the new talent. You know, how can we think about a festival of the future, which now happens to be the festival of the present?
My guest is Tabitha Jackson, director of the Sundance Film Festival, which begins tomorrow and runs for 10 days online. So let's talk about some of the documentaries premiering at the festival. This one, we need to talk about Bill Cosby, directed by comedian and writer W. Kamau Bell, who's actually going to be on our show next week. What did this documentary add to the conversation about Bill Cosby?
Oh, my goodness. Well, for me, it added so much, and perhaps the most important thing was the cultural context. So depending on how you encountered Bill Cosby, you may have a particular reading of him. And I think what's extraordinary about this, it actually, Alison, reminds me of the OJ Made in America series by Ezra Edelman, which also premiered at Sundance in 2016, I think. But it is this the contextualizing of a person who is made by the culture, takes them out of being this kind of unicorn, like, how did they arrive here? How did they end up in this place? And it begins to answer that question, you know. And it's a, this is a, we need to talk about Cosby as a four-part series. And the time that gives it allows a real analysis of what was happening in the culture, how this man over, you know, 50 years in show business, also education, also stand-up comedy, also sitcoms, was the kind of preeminent celebrity, let alone black celebrity. But we understand what that meant to the society. And, you know, woven throughout are the testimonies of some of the women that he encountered. And so it is, it just frames things as the best cinema does. It frames things in a way that you understand it differently. So it's not about having an entrenched position as you go in, although many people will. It's about having a fuller dimensionality through the time it takes to watch this, to understand perhaps how we are involved, not just what he did or did not do, but how we are involved as part of that culture in what happened. So it's, and Kamau Bell goes in with such curiosity and also such rigor that I would say this is a not to be missed one.
And I misspoke. I want to make sure people know the festival starts on January 20th, which is Thursday, and runs through the 30th. Another documentary having its premiere is La Guerra Civil. It chronicles the 90s rivalry between boxers Oscar De La Hoya and Julio Cesar Chavez. What does this film do really well?
I think what it does, you know, these things where we, you know, again, I think particularly with nonfiction and documentaries, you have an entry point. It's like a microscope. The microscope can turn into the telescope. Mm-hmm. The microscope is the very particular and looking at the close detail of it. And the telescope is pulling way back and understanding something, again, about the contextual dimensions of it. So this film, which interestingly is Eva Longoria's Bastons, it's her directorial debut, she looks at these two boxers, and what it does is help us understand some of the cultural dimensions between Mexicans and Mexican Americans. One of these boxers was born in East LA, another was born in Mexico, and this battle, the ultimate glory fight, as it became known as, this fighting competition actually put people on either side of the divide, and it just revealed lots of things about the Latino community, which is fascinating. She does a great job. And with things like this, like, I don't know if you remember When We Were Kings, another mm-hmm. incredible boxing film, which actually wasn't so much about boxing. This has energy and drama, and it's such a fantastic watch, and such a great directorial debut from Eva Longoria.
This is so interesting. You have two films about the Jane Collective, an underground Chicago group who operated at the beginning of the 70s to help women get safe abortions. Now, one film's a documentary. The other is a fictionalized take on the group with a cast that includes Elizabeth Banks and Sigourney Weaver. Why program both?
Because we could. And because it's a really interesting way, it's a really, you know, we often say that the films are, in a festival, the films are in dialogue with each other. And so with these two films in particular, understanding that there is a body of facts that happen and circumstances that happened in, if you will, the real world. How does a nonfiction team come to this, and what is the story that they tell? How does a fiction director, in this case Phyllis Nash, who you might remember wrote the screenplay for Carol, an incredible film, how okay. does she take it? And what they're doing are different things. And I think, you know, the fun question is, I think people should watch both of them, but I can't decide whether people should watch the documentary first or the fiction film first. But when they come together, there will be a third understanding, and that understanding will include what cinema does and how it tells stories in this case, but also what you can take from the coming together of the fictionalized representation and the non-fictionalized representation, and take from it what you will. So that's a good, we did that once before with a documentary called Kate Plays Christine by Robert Greene and a fiction film called Christine. It's an interesting process to engage in both of them.
We are talking about the Sundance Film Festival, which runs from January 20th to 30th, virtually online. I'm speaking with its director, Tabitha Jackson. Let's talk about some of the dramatic films. There's a film that you specifically wanted to highlight in the dramatic competition, and this sounds so interesting, called Nanny, about an undocumented Senegalese immigrant working for a nanny on the family on the Upper East Side of this city. And I should add that it's a horror movie. So, go ahead.
Yes. No, I was laughing because this year's been interesting. We're seeing what Nanny is. Nanny is a film by a first-time director, Nikiatu Jusu. So that's something that we're very proud of. And there are many first-time films in this. And it's great to see the kind of language that people are coming with to subjects which are deeply socially engaged. And we're seeing more than ever this year the use of genre, so whether it's horror or psychological thriller, to engage in a compelling way with these social issues, but in a way that is profoundly cinematic. So when we talk about cinema as allowing you to look at something that you'd rather not see. And, you know, in this Nikiatu, it's a beautiful cinematic language. It's about a Senegalese immigrant who's working for a wealthy Manhattan couple, but there are things going on, and I'll leave it there. But it's really powerful, and it's not a kind of jump scare horror, ooh, freaky horror. There's something that gets into your skin, and it's more a kind of supernatural environment that she has also created. So yeah, Nanny's a beautiful one. And I really like these films that are using creative expression to help us look at things that are going on right in front of our noses.
There's a film called Cha-Cha Real Smooth, directed by an up-and-coming director, Cooper Reif, I think is how you say his name.
Cooper Reif.
Thank you. The Hollywood Reporter calls Gen Z's buzziest director. Oh, I hate that word, buzz, but that makes me nuts. But let's just ask what Cooper does well.
He's such a charming director, and he's in this film as well and has a very charming presence. And you know what he does well from the conceit of a bar mitzvah party starter, which already I'm in, to this very beautiful set of relationships. It's one of our kind of heart warmers this year, I would say, in a program that is grappling with our present reality. We wanted to make sure that we had a dimension that was loving and warm and humorous, and Cooper does all those things.
The Sundance Film Festival runs from January 20th to the 30th online. I've been speaking with its director, Tabitha Jackson. Tabitha, have a great festival.
Thank you so much. You almost gave me a heart attack when you said it started tomorrow, so I'm glad you corrected that for both our sakes. Thanks, Alison.
Bye.